Mike Malloy here. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Stick around tonight. We have something coming up a little bit. The plan by the Republicans who are in the U.S. House and the Senate and their allies outside of government in capitalist America who really want to kill the United States. I mean, murder it. And you'll understand what I'm saying a little bit later. They are locked and loaded and ready to go. And this is coming up very soon in the U.S. Congress. Have you had enough of all this horse crap about Palin's book? I mean, my God, you know, in a very real way, her 15 minutes are up. You know, Andy Warhol's prediction that in the future, everybody would have or deserve to have or should have 15 minutes of fame. If that's true, Jesus Christ, she's taken about 100 people's 15 minutes. Well, so is Glenn Beck's, too. But Palin's book is more of the typical Republican horse crap. She can't tell the truth. Nobody can. No Republican can. That's about all I'm going to say about the hoe from Wasilla. I'm just, oh, my God, I cannot believe how much attention is being paid to this crazy goddamn broad from Alaska. I really can't. I mean, I really can't. So anyway, go away. California is considering widescreen TV standards. What they're asking from the television manufacturing industry is to cut the amount of energy used for these widescreen televisions 30% by 2011 and 50% by 2013. It can be done. It can be done very easily. But watch the right-wing crazies when they get a hold of this story. Go even crazier. Crazier. Now the government, even though it's a Republican governor, it's California, doesn't matter. Now the government wants to tell you, and besides, Arnold Schwarzenegger's not a real Republican. He's married to a Democrat, and that means he's completely corrupted. But anyway, the story will be from the right-wing crazy conspiracy thug nutballs will be, oh my God, they're going to tell you how big your TV can be. See, they want you sitting in front of television, particularly in front of Fox channel, watching it. As long as you're conscious every day, so you will get stupider and stupider and stupider and easier and easier and easier to manipulate. Not that we aren't already easy to manipulate, but that's kind of the plan. So listen for that. You'll see what I'm talking about in the next few days. You'll hear about it. A plan by that socialist, communist, Nazi, foreign-born, whatever he is, Barack Obama, is going to try to dictate to you the size of your television, even though it's California, run by a Republican governor, and the television industry is saying, television manufacturing industry is already saying, yeah, we can do this. Well, email from leftover from Friday's show. Who sent this? Alan is calling about the caller with no conscience. Remember that guy that called in and said he's a truck driver? Not a truck driver. He's some kind of a traveling salesman. I don't know what he is. But he travels a lot. So he's not around his 9-year-old and his 12-year-old anyway. So he didn't give a goddamn about his two children. But he's thinking about joining the military. And, you know, and I said, well, are you willing to put your life on? You're willing to kill people. Doesn't bother me. Remember that call on Friday? Alan writes, Mike, I think that guy with two sons has no problem going off to war, maybe doing some killing, shows why progressives are treading water in this country or going under. There are way too many in this country just like him. Why is this country far less progressive than, say, a country in Scandinavia? Maybe it's the type of people who left Europe and came here. A cynic might say that many who emigrated to the U.S. were simply unwilling to work for change in their own homelands. Alan, well, there's always that, the idea that most of the right-wing neo-Nazis and their spawn left Europe a long time ago, and now their offspring are eating the country alive. Oh, my God. Sometimes it just gets crazy. Talking about California, Norman Solomon provided this information. There's a new straw in the political wind for Obama to consider, and that is over the weekend, the California Democratic Party, which is huge. It is the biggest state political party in America, is the California Democratic Party. I went to one of their conventions in San Francisco a few years ago. And California Democratic Party is, you know, pretty serious when they pass resolutions, when they make statements. Well, overwhelmingly approved on Sunday by the 300-member statewide executive board. That's just the executive board. Is a resolution titled, quote, end the U.S. occupation and air war in Afghanistan, end quote. Now, the resolution supports, quote, a timetable for withdrawal of our military personnel, end quote. It also calls for, quote, an end to the use of mercenary contractors, as well as an end to airstrikes that cause heavy civilian casualties, end quote. Resolution also urges Obama, quote, to oversee a redirection of our funding and resources to include an increase in humanitarian and developmental aid, end quote. Okay? Three big sections. Three statements. Three requests. Three, not directives, requests. Do you think President Obama is going to pay a bit of attention to this? Do you? And as Norman Solomon writes, the California Democratic Party's adoption of this resolution is the most tangible indicator yet that escalation of the U.S. war effort in that country can only fuel opposition within the president's own party. Opposition that has already begun to erode his political base. That's very true. You know, what we're looking at here, if you're a Democrat or a progressive, and again, I'm no longer a Democrat. I gave it up. I simply do not identify myself as a Democrat any longer. But if for Democrats or progressives or people on the left, whatever, you know, I can still consider myself to be a progressive. Very clearly, what's being indicated, I think, in this country is that Barack Obama is going to be a one-term president. Now, who do you think is going to be the going to get elected in 2012? It's not going to be Sarah Palin. But what happens if it's a right-wing Republican? Which is all the Republican Party is interested in anymore. But if Obama's not careful, and so far he has not been, I don't care how many people believed they heard him say something when he didn't, like me, during the campaign, he's had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to categorically state his intentions, and he has not. Intentions that would have satisfied his base. Meanwhile, the Republican Party is ripping itself into a million pieces in order to peel away anybody who is not of, by, or for the base of their party, which is fascist. And they're succeeding. Have you noticed that? They are succeeding. All right, there were two, excuse me, two longtime activists, one of whom we've had on this program because she is running against Jane Harman. That would be Marcy Winograd. But Karen Bernal of Sacramento and Marcy Winograd of Los Angeles, two longtime savvy activists in California, made statements. Bernal, who's the chair of the state party's Progressive Caucus. You see, the Democratic Party is divided into many factions, all the way from Republican light to blue dogs to mainstream Republicans to kind of liberal Republicans to progressives, right? Karen Bernal is the chair of the state party's Progressive Caucus. We'll have her comment when we come back, and also Marcy Winograd's, and I want you to hear this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The light, he says, at the end of the tunnel was nothing but a burglar's toll. And them that was caught in a cup are all rich and free. But they chained my mind to an endless tomb when they took my only son from me. I saw it on TV. I know it's true. Oh, so true. 'Cause I saw
past the hour. All right. The largest state party in the country, the California Democratic Party, has sent a message to Barack Obama. Get out of Vietnam. I did it again. Get out of Afghanistan. No, Vietnam was 40 years ago, Mike. Get out of Afghanistan. They passed a resolution for Obama to consider. Now, in addition to the resolution, which calls for a timetable for withdrawal, an end to the use of mercenary contractors, an end to airstrikes that kill civilians, and for the U.S. administration to redirect some of our funding and resources to humanitarian and developmental aid in that country, if we're going to be involved at all. Karen Bernal of Sacramento and Marcy Winograd of Los Angeles made a statement, each individually. Here's Bernal, who is the chair of the state party's Progressive Caucus. She said on Sunday night, quote, "Today's vote formalized and amplified what had been up to now an unspoken but profoundly understood reality that there is no military solution in Afghanistan." What's more, Karen Bernal says, the vote signified an acceptance of what is sure to be a continued and growing culture of resistance to current administration policies on this matter within the Democratic Party. This is absolutely huge. Now, there can be no disputing the fact that the overwhelming majority of California Democrats are not only saying no to escalation, but also no to our continued military presence in Afghanistan, period. The California Democratic Party has spoken, and we want the rest of the country to know. End quote. Now, Marcy Winograd, who is, as you know, if you listen to this program, we've had her on a couple of times, running hard as a grassroots candidate in the primary against pro-war incumbent Representative Jane Harman. Pro-war incumbent Jane Harman had this to say. Marcy Winograd said, quote, "We need progressives in every state Democratic Party to pass a similar resolution calling for an end to the U.S. occupation and air war in Afghanistan. Bring the veterans to the table. Bring our young into the room. Demand an end to this occupation that only destabilizes the region. There is no military solution. Only a diplomatic one that requires we cease our role as occupiers if we want our voices to be heard. Yes, this is about Afghanistan, but it's also about our role in the world at large. Do we want to be global occupiers seizing scarce resources or global partners in shared prosperity? I would argue," Marcy Winograd said, "I would argue a partnership is not only the humane choice, but also the choice that grants us the greatest security," end quote. Now, they had a couple other people there, excuse me, who spoke. Norman Solomon says that former Marine Corporal Rick Reyes movingly described his experiences as a warrior in Afghanistan, experiences that led him to question and then oppose what he now considers to be an illegitimate U.S. occupation of that country. And another voice that was there is from U.S. diplomat Matthew Ho. We quoted his a series of emails to the Obama administration before he resigned. The recent resignation letter that Matthew Ho sent to the State Department after 5 months of work on the ground in Afghanistan said, quote, "I find specious the reasons we ask for bloodshed and sacrifice from our young men and women in Afghanistan. If honest, our stated strategy of securing Afghanistan to prevent al-Qaeda resurgence or regrouping would require us to additionally invade and occupy Western Pakistan, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, etc. Our presence in Afghanistan has only increased destabilization and insurgency in Pakistan, where we rightly fear a toppled or weakened Pakistani government may lose control of its nuclear weapons," end quote. Now, the point here, I think, is very clear. The Republican Party has a base. They are murderous sons of bitches who want to see the United States destroyed and in its place a form of fascism. Uniquely American, but fascism nonetheless. The Democratic Party in the United States also has a base. A progressive, anti-war, let's make sure everybody in the country can advance. Let's make sure everybody has an equal chance. Let's take care of our own. That's the base of the Democratic Party. Now, I think it's great sport and a lot of fun to watch the Republican Party eat itself alive. I hope they do. Son of a bitch, I hope they do. I hope the Republican Party just, like the picture of the snake swallowing its own tail. Go, go, go. Yeah, Sarah Palin. Yes! But the only salvation for this country ever is from the Democratic or the left side of the aisle. That's the only way this is going to happen. The only resistance to this American, this uniquely United Statesian form of fascism, the only resistance, the only way to stop it, is to invigorate and support and push the progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
Losing hope is easy. And every time you look around, well, it all just seems to change. But hanging on is easy when you've got a friend to call.
The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today. It's about 25 before the hour. Perry, too, disagrees with my assessment about Barack Obama is going to lose if he doesn't listen to progressive Democrats. Perry, too, writes, there simply aren't enough suicidal Democrats to overcome Obama's lead over any candidate the Republicans would run. The Republicans are all up in the air about the so-called independents voting against the Democrats in the two governor's races. But that is entirely because 40% of former Republicans now call themselves independents. Exit polls, even in these races, showed Obama with excellent numbers. Even when Republicans were considered popular, they depended on massive cheating to win by a slim margin. Obama will win the next election, and probably by a bigger margin than last time, if he gets rid of the electronic voting machines. Right, okay. Well, nice caveat there at the end, Bruce. Yeah, okay. All right. I can remember that everybody laughed at Reagan, too, right? But we'll see. And by the way, I said right before the break, the only way to guarantee that this country does not slip any further into, and possibly we can reverse this move to American fascism, is to push the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. Now, I say that at the same time I say I'm no longer a Democrat. Sounds like a bit of contradiction, but the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, I think, should break away and call themselves progressives. I would join that party in a second. As far as party affiliation, yeah, here in Georgia, I'm still a registered Democrat, but I now consider myself to be more of an independent or progressive. But that's, you know, when I say independent, that puts me in league with a whole bunch of these crappy-ass Republicans who I really, they just turn my stomach. So I don't know where I belong.
In a madhouse!
Okay, okay. General Electric. You hear about this? General Electric, GE, you know, the ones that own NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, yada, yada, yada. General Electric's aviation unit is going to team up with a Chinese company called Aviation Industry Corporation to develop and market electronic systems for commercial aircraft customers, including a C-919 narrow-body aircraft that China's going to build, and China hopes will compete with jets made by Boeing. So General Electric, see, this is what happens, right? General Electric is going to team up with Aviation Industry Corporation of China. Now, the goal is to launch this new China-based company by middle of next year. GE Aviation, that's the American company, provides jet engines, parts, and systems for current commercial and military aircraft. And this joint venture with the Chinese company will offer electronics and services for future commercial aircraft programs. GE has more than 12,000 employees currently based in China. Which is nothing in China. You imagine 12,000 employees here? Oh, well, this joint venture will create some U.S. jobs. 200. 200 jobs in the U.S. That's according to Lorraine Bolsinger, who's president and CEO of GE Aviation Systems. Now, this deal was announced in Beijing yesterday, Sunday. So GE has 12,000 employees currently based in China. GE is going to team up with a Chinese company to build, develop and market electronic systems for commercial aircraft. And this little venture will create 200 jobs in the United States. Oh, by the way, the GE, which is based in Connecticut, last month reported third quarter profit growth in part because of strong global sales of aircraft engines. The company's aviation business saw equipment orders rise 93% as it benefited from solid demand in China. Yes, I'm reading from the Associated Press. China, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, Brazil, and other countries that are buying fleets of airplanes. So, Just one question. I don't know. Anybody want to take a shot at answering it? Why doesn't General Electric not team up with Aviation Industry Corporation of China to develop and market electronic systems for commercial aircraft customers? Oh, of course I know the answer. I mean, you know, this is capitalism, and capitalism says, you know, piss on everybody except those people who are worth the cheapest, who will provide us the least amount of labor costs. General Electric. I wonder, you know, I didn't see this announcement on NBC News tonight. Well, I didn't watch the whole newscast. Did anybody see that, NBC News? And, of course, the two main competitors this new GE Chinese company will engage will be Boeing in this country and Airbus in Europe. I don't give a damn about Airbus, but I do kind of think that, yeah, I know, Boeing also makes all kinds of murder weapons. But on the other hand, Boeing does provide jobs. You folks that listen in Seattle, how about this? 12,000 jobs. GE Aviation currently employs 12,000 people in China. Currently. So when this new joint venture goes online, how many more people will be there? We're going to have 200 new jobs here. Yeehaw! Sometimes, you know, if you're not careful, at least this is true with me, I can get so enraged about what our own American companies are doing to us that I could just scream. And no need to email me about, you know, economic realities and globalization. I don't care. I am naive enough and ignorant enough to believe that American companies should hire American workers in the United States, pay them a decent wage, and help develop... Oh, never mind. That's so 1950, that whole idea, right? And 60, and 70. But this is not then. New York Times, I've been following this. We talked about last week, this little prick from Oklahoma, Senator Tom Coburn. This little rat bastard, I like to call him more. I love calling names to these swine, but I can only go so far because part of this program goes over commercial stations, commercial broadcast stations. So there is a limit how far I can go. But Tom Coburn is one of those representatives in the U.S. Congress. He happens to be a senator that just turns my stomach, just like General Electric setting up a joint venture with a Chinese company. Anyway, editorial in today's Times says a creative plan to help wounded veterans and their exhausted families. We talked about this last week. Adapt to the strain of long-term home care is on the brink of bipartisan approval, except for Senator Tom Coburn, Republican, Oklahoma. Now, Irish Dave, when I talked about this last week, Irish Dave said, you know, Tom Coburn better watch out. A lot of vets live in Oklahoma, and don't forget Timothy McVeigh. Anyway, Times says this is one of the most deplorable displays of this so-called lawmaker, an Oklahoma Republican who relishes playing the self-styled budget hawk by putting attention-grabbing holds on crucial legislation. The urgently needed legislation consolidates more than a dozen improvements in veterans' health care, most notably a new assistance program, get this, for family members who wind up providing lifelong home nursing to severely disabled veterans. These vital caregivers, who sacrifice careers and put huge strains on their own mental health, assume an obligation, quote, that ultimately belongs to the government, end quote, according to Senator Daniel Akaka, the bill's chief sponsor. Now, what does that mean, an obligation that ultimately belongs to the government? Their families don't tell them to go occupy after invading Afghanistan. The families don't tell them to occupy after invading Iraq. The government did. So whose responsibility is it to provide care? That's right. You go to the front of the class. The measure, this bill that will combine all these programs and help vets, also expands benefits for women veterans who suffered sexual trauma on duty. Now, this is where Coburn, this is the part he doesn't like. Don't forget, he's a Republican. He believes that if women are in combat or in the military, they deserve to be raped. Hey! You deserve to be raped by fellow soldiers, by private contractors. The split tails, you see, ought to stay home and stay in the kitchen, according to people like Tom Coburn. It also extends veterans care in rural areas where there is none, tightens quality control of VA hospitals, and ensures that catastrophically disabled vets will not be charged for emergency services in community hospitals. Do you know what a catastrophically disabled veteran is? That's one of the guys that's in a wheelchair that can only be operated by breathing into a tube. And this filthy son of a bitch, Tom Coburn, has put a hold on this bill to help veterans. You want to know why? I'll tell you when we come back.
truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's More Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. So, one of the slimiest sons of bitches in the U.S. Senate, Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, Republican, of course, is the only senator to put a hold on a plan, a bill, to help wounded veterans and their exhausted families handle the long-term care, home care, that is necessary because other Republicans and Democrats who enabled the Republicans sent American servicemen and women to invade two countries and occupy those countries. And the steady flow of grievously wounded, horrifically wounded American young men and women continues. The measure sponsored by Senator Daniel Akaka notes that ultimately the responsibility for caring for our wounded military people belongs to the government that ordered them to go. Now, that doesn't mean warehousing. It means providing from the government the resources necessary so that these people, our servicemen and women, who want to live at home can live at home, regardless of the extent of their injuries. That requires a lot. It requires home care. It requires, in some instances, round-the-clock nursing. How is all this handled now? By family members who are desperately trying to get help. And help is on the way, except for this son of a bitch from Oklahoma, Tom Coburn. Now, the legislation that's in the Senate right now got unanimous committee approval in the Senate, Armed Services Committee? I think it was the Senate Armed Services Committee. Unanimous approval. Unanimous approval. Every Democrat, every Republican said, yeah, okay, yes, absolutely. But Coburn objected to quick floor passage. In other words, it was unanimously voted on by the Senate, sent out for floor approval, take a vote. All in favor, aye. All opposed, no, the vote passes. No, 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 says Coburn. He demands that this five-year, $3.7 billion cost, five years, 3.7. Do you know what that is in the current situation of spending and deficit spending and yada yada? This country's involved in $3.7 billion. That's about a tenth of the bonuses that'll be paid this Christmas by Goldman Sachs to its financial rapists who are hard at work. That's what it is. $3.7 billion for 5 years. Jesus, God. Coburn is demanding that the $3.7 billion cost over 5 years be offset with immediate budget cuts. Right now, all of it. Now, how does that balance out? As the New York Times says, the senator's argument rings hollow in the face of veterans' suffering and the world of deficit budgeting brought on by the Republican Party's tax cuts and the Republican Party's invasion. It was their chump that ordered this, both countries. And now Coburn is demanding balanced books for wounded veterans? Jesus Christ, where did these people come from? You don't have to answer tonight. I know a couple of people tried to. What is it that makes a veteran or anybody even in active duty service on reserve status support a Republican? Don't you understand that these vermin will cut your throat every single time? It's Republicans who do this. It was Democrats who passed the first GI Bill back in the mid-40s with all these millions of American servicemen coming home. You know what the Republicans wanted? They saw that as this huge labor pool that would depress wages. And the Democrats forced, because they were the majority party, and the Republicans had to shut the goddamn hell up and do nothing. The Democrats got past the GI Bill. Whether it was about buying a house or job training or going to school, that was Democrats. How did the Republican Party that just urinates all over veterans, just a constant stream of urine from these bastards. That's all they do. That's all Republicans do. Go kill, boy. Go die for me, girl. Get your ass over there. Come back with your arms and legs blown off, half your skull gone. I don't care. You're doing it. You're dying. You're getting wounded for American fascism, and it pays me a lot of money. Go on. Get over there. Well, if I get outraged about this, and I don't have a dog in that fight because I don't have any family members who are in the military, and if any of my grandchildren said they wanted to go, I'd break their legs. I'm sorry. I would tell their mamas, ain't going to happen. Well, before I broke the legs, I'd make sure that they went to college or something. But you understand what I'm saying? Not now. Not now. Not with this attitude of invading countries that have done nothing to us for this phony war on terror so that corporate America can get wealthy and pigs like Tom Coburn can get his 15 minutes, just like Sarah Palin, just like Glenn Beck. It's disgusting. And yet, Republican families put up with it. What's wrong with you people? I'm serious as a heart attack. What in the hell is wrong with rank and file Republicans? Why do you support a party that will treat your son, your daughter, your uncle, your auntie, your father as scum after they use him in the U.S. military? What is wrong with you? There's no answer to that. Something worse about what's planned by Republicans in the Senate. I'll share that with you. Boy, I'm sure you can't wait. When we come back, I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. The hour. Now, this is kind of interesting to me. I don't know how Dean Baker did this, writing at Truth Out, an op-ed piece, but he talks about hostage takers in the Senate, and he talks about how a small clique in the U.S. Senate, with their collaborators in the Washington punditry, those are Dean Baker's words, are planning for a dramatic hostage-taking event, right square in the middle of the Senate. Their target of opportunity is a bill to increase the nation's debt limit. This happens all the time because we're in the position we are in, thanks to the Bush administration. The amount of money for which we can go into debt has to be approved by, you know, the House, the purse strings part of the government. The hostage takers propose to obstruct the bill's passage until the rest of the country gives into their demands to cut Social Security and Medicare. Now, the debt limit has to be increased at regular intervals to allow the government to function normally. You know that. Especially now, because the country's operating at a massive deficit. If the debt limit is not passed, if this bill isn't passed, then at some point the government will not be able to pay workers and contractors and won't be able to send out Social Security checks. Think about this, or make payments for Medicaid or for unemployment insurance to state governments. And it will not be able to make interest payments on government bonds, effectively defaulting on the national debt. All right? Now, the Republicans got us into this. The Bush crime family, the Reagan crime family, the George Herbert Walker Bush crime family. There was one little window of opportunity in there, and I don't care how it was done, but Bill Clinton handed off to this smart ass from Texas, black ink as far as the eye could see, if he just would have continued the Clinton economic policies. I know you can argue with me about that all day long, but that's what the projections were. Now, it's a condition of allowing a bill to increase the debt limit to pass the Senate. The so-called hostage takers are demanding that Congress agree to establish a special commission to make recommendations for reducing the long-term budget deficit. Now, the commission would be stacked with people who want to cut Social Security and Medicare. Now, who are these members of the Senate? Because Dean Baker, writing at Truth Out, manages to get through a, I don't know, 350-word screed about this without ever mentioning who the hostage takers really are, what he calls them. No offense to Dean. Whatever. He says a small clique in the Senate is planning for a dramatic hostage-taking event. That's all he says. Who are they? Well, as Chris Bowers, writing openleft.com, says, of all the various blocs and gangs that are formed in Congress this year, Senators By, Conrad, Feinstein, Lieberman, and Warner have managed to form the most regressive one yet. Currently, these four Democrats and Lieberman are demanding that Speaker Pelosi hand over all relevant congressional power to an independent commission that will be allowed to slash and partially privatize Social Security and Medicare, or else they will allow the United States to default on its debt. God damn. You see, last Tuesday, senators from both parties put new pressure on Nancy Pelosi to turn the power to trim entitlement benefits over to an independent commission. Remember, this kind of stuff arises in the House. These are senators. Seven members of the Senate Budget Committee threatened during a hearing last Tuesday to withhold their support for critical legislation to raise the debt ceiling if the bill calling for the creation of this bipartisan fiscal reform commission were not attached. You see what they're trying to do? Now, who are these people? Some of them you already know. Kent Conrad, this shill for the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex. Kent Conrad from North Dakota? Oh, I don't care. Judd Gregg, who's a Democrat from where? Where's he from? New Hampshire? I don't care. Evan Bayh, a Democrat from Indiana, Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat from California, Mark Warner, a Democrat from Virginia, Joe Lieberman, a traitor from Connecticut, George Voinovich, a Republican from Ohio, and Jeff Sessions, a Republican from Alabama. This little group, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Publicly vowed to vote against raising the debt ceiling if a budget reform commission bill doesn't come along with it. Now, the Republican threats don't matter because only Democrats are needed to pass the bill. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Oops. Conrad, Greg, Evan Bayh, Dianne Feinstein, Mark Warner, and Joe Lieberman. Well, Lieberman, I won't put anything past Lieberman, this crazy bastard. Now, as Chris Bowers writes at Open Left, let's review the threats that these five Democrats are making. They will allow the United States to default on its debt, which will vastly increase the overall amount we have to pay on our debt unless Speaker Pelosi turns over congressional power on Social Security and Medicare to an unelected commission that will almost certainly propose deep cuts in Social Security and Medicare entitlements. Now, keep in mind that if deep cuts to Social Security and Medicare pass under Democratic trifecta, the party would be doomed at the ballot box for years to come. This is insane. These are some of the Democrats. Now, the Republican Party is trying to commit suicide. There are Democrats who are also who are working hand in glove to commit suicide. Why? Because all of these sons of bitches are moving this country to fascism, to corporatism. Call it what you, I don't care. Now, how do these five Democratic senators explain, if this happens, you know, if they go ahead and hold the country hostage, and then they refuse to vote to approve this, and the country goes into default, how do these five Democratic senators explain why they allowed the country to default on its debt? No matter how safe these Democrat seats appear to be, no senator is going to win re-election after making an entire country default on its debt. This is a national suicide pact. That's what it is. So these Democrats ought to stand up like adults and say, look, we're demanding deep cuts in Social Security and Medicare, or else we're going to personally cause the United States to go bankrupt. Default. The debt eventually to double. And you think all we have are problems with this piece of human waste from Wasilla, Alaska, Sarah Palin? While we've got Democrats in the Senate who are working with Jeff Sessions from Alabama? You know, a fun bitch to talk with mouth full of baby dropping that you won't build. Oh, my God. Dianne Feinstein, huh? Evan Bayh. Kent Conrad, Judd Gregg, Mark Warner, and then these three monsters, Joe Lieberman, George Voinovich, and Jeff Sessions. So, Tom Coburn is not going to vote for veteran relief because, you know, we're in debt. We have five Democrats who want to cut Social Security and Medicare in order to establish fiscal responsibility. And if they don't get their way, they're going to refuse to allow the debt ceiling to lift. Does anybody really give a tinker's damn about the debt ceiling? Do you care? We'll be back after the break.
Monkey-free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Yes, Judd Gregg is a Republican. The rest of them are Democrats, though. Well, not Jeff Sessions. Did I say? I think I did. I got a couple of emails from people that said, hey, wait a minute. Judd Gregg is a Republican. Well, Dianne Feinstein isn't, and Evan Bayh isn't, and Kent Conrad isn't. I can't believe these five Democrats are, and of course the pig Lieberman, and then these Republicans are doing this. I don't know. And since there is not the kind of liberal radio presence or television, for that matter, who do we have? We have what's the guy in the morning on MSNBC? drawn a blank, and I quoted him last week. He's been on since July. And then we have Oberman and Rachel in the evening on television. That's about it. On radio, what do we have? Three or four shows? So we have this rancid, filthy core of Democrats. You know, the blue dog my ass. You know, that just sounds like, oh, our blue dogs. Yeah. No, they're traitors. They want to destroy the country. They're just like Republicans. If we had a liberal network, if we had the kind of 24/7 coverage, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, or even anything just close to that, we could expose these Democrats, because corporate media is not going to expose them. Who's going to expose them? Huh? Did you see any of this on television? No, of course not. This is what happens when you have media so dominated by neo-fascists in this country. So if it were possible to expose these people and to actively work to strengthen the core of the Democratic Party, the progressive wing of the Democrat, maybe that's not the core anymore, but the progressive wing. No, we don't do that. We Democrats just sit back on our asses, and I'm talking about rank and file. I'm not talking about like the Democratic Party in California that passed resolutions and actually does something. I'm talking about people like you and me. You know, we don't do anything. Meanwhile, the Republican base is has really drunk the grape-flavored soft drink, or whatever the hell it was. Don't say Kool-Aid, because it wasn't Kool-Aid, and that's a brand name. They have drunk from the barrel, the Jim Jones barrel, the Glenn Beck suicider barrel, the Sarah Palin barrel, the rest of these right-wing thugs. So the Republicans have drunk this poison, and they don't care. They don't, you know, they couldn't care less about the drift of the country. Couldn't care less about maintaining the integrity of the United States. You know, these are the same sons of bitches, at heart and in their minds that tried to break the country up 150 years ago. And they'll do it again and again and again until they succeed. Only they don't necessarily want to break it up this time. What they want to do this time is just end it. Just goddamn end it and replace it with this corporate fascism. That's what Republicans are about. That's what the rank and file is about. Democrats don't turn out for teabag parties. Democrats don't show up in Washington, D.C. because the Democratic Party, like Dennis Kucinich, an activist within the Democratic Party, unlike Michelle Bachmann, a psychopath within the Republican Party. The psychopath calls for psychopaths to come out, and they all come out. Dennis Kucinich, a progressive, calls for progressives to come out. Oh, well, I don't know, man. I gotta stay home and watch the Georgia Auburn game, you know. I can't make it. You got anything online? Oh, we're with you, Dennis. Yeah, go, Dennis. Go, Dennis Kucinich. Well, how does he say his last name? Kucinich? Where's he from? Pennsylvania? That's Democrats. And it's not going to change. You know it's not going to change. A lot of people wrote about the specialist Hutchinson story that we talked about last week. Didn't talk about it. I screamed about and frothed at the mouth. A lot of effort went into notifying members of Congress, House and Senate, about this woman soldier's predicament, ordered to put her baby down, leave the baby alone, get on the goddamn plane and go to Afghanistan, where we're going to court-martial you because you missed your first flight because you couldn't find anyone to take care of your baby. We don't care about your baby. We're Republicans. Baby my ass. We care about fetuses, but we don't care about 11-month-old babies. Get on the goddamn plane. Well, she refused, and now she's facing a court-martial in Afghanistan. Isn't that wonderful? If you're going to court-martial, I mean, even if you're insane enough to court-martial, why not court-martial her here? No! Ship her all the way to Afghanistan, court-martial her there. Then what? Put her in a stockade there, or ship her all the way back and put her in a stockade here? Meantime, the 11-month-old son... The what? The 11-month-old son, the baby. The what? Oh, for Christ's sake.
stop at the world, then you're just not paying attention. And you can turn off the TV and go about your day, but just 'cause you don't see it, it don't mean it's gone away.
It's about 25 before the hour. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow.
There must be more to life than lucky strikes and some unlucky ones.
All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to open the phone line, so if you would like to join in the discussion tonight, we certainly would invite your call. You know, one of the stories that got some play today, and of course, the rabid pissants on the right-wing blog sites and media and radio and television, I mean, this was like masturbatory to them. It's like Obama porn. What did he do this time? He bowed to Japan's emperor. Oh my God. He bowed. Steve Pendleberry at Sphere.com says conservatives were incensed by the way the president greeted Emperor Akihito in Tokyo on Saturday, unlike in April when the White House insisted Obama's bow to King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia wasn't a bow at all. A senior administration official told Politico the president was just observing protocol in the bow to the Japanese emperor. If they ever find out what brand of bathroom tissue Obama uses, that's going to become some kind of proof that he's a communist or a lackey or a socialist or a Nazi, or he wants to eat white babies, or he's from Kenya, or he's, it just goes on and on. Oh my God. I could quote from some of these right-wing blogs, but why bother? These people are just goddamn crazy. They're just crazy. You know, we had George Bush, who loved to suck face with and hold hands with the leader of the nation that provided 15 of the 19 bombers that came to this country and killed 3,000 people. And where were you right-wing pissant bloggers then? God, you people disgust me. You turn my stomach, all of you. You're such vermin. And who was it that bowed actually to Hirohito? Was it Nixon? Who was that? The emperor who allowed the attack on Pearl Harbor and our involvement in World War II. Who was that? Who was that? Huh? Who did that? Who did that? Was that Nixon? The right-wing bloggers and the right-wing sycophants in this country is just crazy. You people are just crazy. I wish you would all fall over and just turn to dust. I really do. Where were you when your boy, George, was sucking on the Saudi king or the Saudi ambassador? Where were you, huh? You've seen the pictures. May I kiss your lips? May I kiss your face? Here, let me hold your hand. Ooh. And you know the terrible part? It wasn't even gay. If it would have been gay, it would have been okay. But it wasn't gay. Bush wasn't being gay. He was being a toady son of a bitch following protocol, following what the Saudis expect from the Bush family. Hold my hand, kiss my face. You can kiss my ass, too, but kiss my face now, and we'll bail you out, George, the next time you're in deep trouble. In the meantime, surprise, surprise, 15 of those bombers came from our country. Ooh, how did that feel? And these filthy, scummy, degenerate, America-hating right-wing bloggers who said nothing about that. But let Obama follow protocol. That's an emperor. We don't believe in emperors, not unless it's Ronald Reagan. He drops his head. He bows. He bends over the waist. There's not a goddamn American businessman who doesn't do the same thing. But let Obama do it? Ah, well, he is a toady. You filthy pigs. Jesus, I hate you. I can't get over how many traitors there are in this country, and they are all right-wingers. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Republicans. Traitors. All right. I said let's have some calls, so okay. Julian is driving in Mississippi, listening on Sirius. Hey, Julian.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here, but we can't let that happen again. Are you talking to me on a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
Well, of course, if you're driving. All right, let's try it one more time.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess what I'm going to say is I support corporate health care in the form that I think all these corporations that are profiting from this war in Iraq should be paying for a veteran's health care.
That would be a good idea, wouldn't it? But it's up to the government. The corporations are whipping or did whip the members of the House and the Senate, Democrat and Republican, to send our people into these two wars of opportunity. But it was the House, the Senate, and the executive branch that said, go ahead, boys, go ahead. So while I agree with you that corporate America should pay and pay and pay and pay, they won't, because remember, capitalism, corporate America, they look at soldiers and Marines and airmen and sailors as expendable garbage. They don't care. They don't care. So I don't think corporate America would ever do it. And it's up to the government. It's just up to the government. You know, the government still, believe it or not, thanks, Julian, the government still, at least in form, it's the government that wages war. Although every war, since our war declaration in 1941, has been illegal. It's been extra constitutional. It has not been in keeping with the separation of powers. First of all, we went all through that last week. Garrett is in Danville, Kentucky. Hey, Garrett.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Pretty pissed off at Tom Coburn, actually.
Yeah, well, I would think.
But, you know, I expect we got two quality, and I say that with finger quotes, senators over here in Kentucky as well. We've got Mitch McConnell and Jim Bunning.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bunning is not going to run again, is he?
He barely made it the last time. I mean, they're finally going to flush him out of the closet, and I just hope they drag Mitch out of the closet with him.
So. Well, Mitch McConnell is, I don't care if he's gay, straight, or likes to dress up in bird feathers, but because of the way he conducts himself, because of the way he's always in the leading edge of anti-gay, anti-military,
anti-everything.
You're right. He should be driven out of the closet.
He should be driven out of the Senate.
Well,
and the thing that gets me is, look, I'm a minister. I'm the one that wrote the letter to the abortion clinic saying, look, that I would shield the women from protesters because choice is good.
I hear you.
Christianity is choice. And, but we get these whack jobs, and I don't use that term loosely.
I hear you.
They think they're God's special education team, and they need to go away But my brother is a disabled veteran, so this thing Coburn's doing is not abstract for me at all.
Right.
Because what they don't tell you, because it's not big news, it's not newsy enough, I guess, is my brother's disabled from Panama.
Oh, my God.
And when they do that, when new wars come up, the older veterans get pushed, reshuffled down the bin.
Mm-hmm.
So that to make room in the VA hospitals for the new and fresh incoming wounded guys.
Yeah, yeah.
They know that there's going to be, and what they don't tell you is Clinton cut the VA benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Bush Senior cut the VA. I mean, every president has cut them.
Right.
And then when they finally get a bill through, this is, wow, look, they got, they were $5 million underfunded every step of the way, and when they finally get something.
Mm-hmm.
And because they pushed it. He's 44, my brother's 44 years old, and he's due a double hip replacement. I mean, if there was a $50,000 check at his feet, he couldn't bend over and pick it up.
Oh, my God.
But, hey, that's fine. He's been reshuffled since, this year, 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and they've already told him, there's just no money, so you're not priority. So maybe next October.
Garrett, when I hear stuff like that, I can't even handle it. Garrett, I got a break here. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. I hope to hear from you again. How do we exist as a country? How to retain even a shred of ethics or morality when stuff like this is going on? I mean, how? We'll be back.
Home, I understand. Use the cuss words like you like to use, and think about taking the high road, yeah, the high road, like you've always been shown. And think about what would Jesus do, what would Jesus do, what would Jesus do.
With the truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Mel is in, what is that, Cape Hearn, Virginia, Mel? Oops. Mel? Mel? I'm sorry. Let me put you on hold. I can't hear a word. I don't even know if you're there, but I'll put you on hold. Mark is in Minneapolis. Hey, Mark. Oh, wait. Can't hear you either. Okay. We got a major problem here. Mel?
Yes, I'm right here.
There you go. All right. Our bad. It was just something in the board here. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Sure, go ahead.
On something.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity. Now, I am a conservative, but I'm just curious as what your opinion is as to why Obama would not admit that we've had a very good possibility of two terrorist attacks that's happened on the United States in the last 6 months or so. Speaking of the
did somebody ask him that?
Well, I mean, the guy that shot those people at Fort Hood, he seemed to be motivated by Islam.
Now, why do you say that? Because you've heard reports that he shouted Allahu Akbar?
Well, not only that, but he's been in contact with Al-Qaeda.
How do you know that?
According to the press.
No, what press?
And, well, let's see, NBC, ABC.
No. Nobody at NBC or ABC has said he's been in contact with Al-Qaeda. Where are you getting that information? I'm just curious.
Well, I'll say, well, from conservative talk radio.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, all right. Well, at least be honest with me. Okay, if you're going to call my program, I'll put you on hold because I don't like to be interrupted. If you're going to call my program, the least you, I don't care what your opinion is. You can tell me, that you think the moon is made out of communion wafers. I don't give a goddamn. But don't be dishonest with me and tell me that you heard something on ABC and NBC when you know damn good and well you did not. Now, I don't like liars. You're a conservative. You're a liar by nature. Get off my program. Thank you. Goodbye. Don't call again. Jesus, God. Why do you people call me with this garbage, huh? You heard it on conservative radio. Well, of course you did. I mean, anything Obama does, if he scratches his ass, that's going to be some kind of an act of communism.
I wonder how many acts of terror you could classify as terrorist acts that occurred on American soil during the Bush administration. What was the CIA report that came out that said that the homegrown militia groups, these folks were the most dangerous threat to America because of all the church bombings?
Right-wing callers, right-wing people, conservatives, Democrats and Republicans. They don't care about that. Don't, Kathy. You're confusing the issue with facts. I swear to God, after 20 years of trying to make a space where Republicans or conservatives or right-wingers could call my program, no matter who I was working for, 20 years I've tried to give you people some space to do it. And you still haven't figured it out. Please, don't call me. Honest to Christ, don't. There's no invitation here to call this program. If you want to sit back and listen, go ahead. But don't call. You're wasting my incoming phone bill. You waste airtime. I've got a few listeners who love to hear you sliced and diced. But frankly, to me, it's just a pain in the butt. Don't call. You're all crazy. You're nuts. You get your information from a collection of cretins and psychopaths unknown in American media ever. So, I'm just going to say again, don't call. You turn my stomach, all of you. You don't have the sense of a handful of asparagus stalks. Go away. Oh, you can listen, but don't call. Don't call. Don't. Ever call. Thank you. I used to have a different policy. I used to say, right wingers, Republicans, you can call if you can make sense. If you can get through one sentence without a lie. If you can come into my place of business without starting your tirade with an insult against me. If you got something to say that even borders on coherency or fact. But all of that is a waste. None of these right-wing, no Republican, no conservative can do that. It's impossible. It's beyond their ability. They have been totally, they've had their brains squeezed dry and filled up with Becky and bull feathers. That's all. So really, call each other. Go on Free Republic. Go play with each other. Go do that, you know? Call Limbaugh's program. Call Beck's program. Call Hannity's. Call Michelle Malkin. Call all this whole stable of right-wing screwballs. Call them. They would love it. Me, you turn my goddamn stomach, so don't call me again. Thank you! We'll be back after the break. Jesus, I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. I've got a prairie two here from our economic affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, but it's rather lengthy. Well, not that lengthy. But let me share it with you. Obama arrived in China Sunday, prairie two writes, and gave a speech saying the U.S. will not try to contain China. Indeed, he spoke of a Pacific free trade zone. He did, however, stop short of saying that the U.S. would join in such a folly, as was the policy of the Bush administration. The U.S. trade deficit, which ballooned by more than 18% in September, all the way up to $36.5 billion alone, must give Obama pause about continuing the full-speed dash toward the abyss. Our president is popular in China, especially among the young. Of course, with the decades-old one-child policy, the young are a small minority in China, but you need to remember the scale that they operate on, with a population between 1.3 and 1.5 billion. Nobody in the West knows for sure. That's still a lot of young people. There are more fluent English speakers in China than in the U.S., even if you count Republican voters as fluent English speakers. Obama is not as popular as Bush was. Many Chinese are wary and think of him as more of a cult figure. You can buy T-shirts in Beijing with Obama wearing a Mao jacket. Indeed, Bush should be more popular since he gave China trillions of dollars and a big leg up toward world domination. Many are afraid that Obama wants the money back. He talks about a strong dollar, but his real policy apparently is a weak dollar. Obama's speech only made the evening news on the main network in China after 27 minutes in, and after a story about a rural policeman who seems to spend most of his time helping old women husk their corn crop. Indeed, China has been very concerned about Obama's policies. Liu Mingkang, China's chief banking regulator, said that the combination of a weak dollar and low interest rates has encouraged a huge carry trade. By using one country's cheap currency and low interest to buy other country's market assets, in this case using U.S. dollars to buy everything. And that this carry trade was having a, quote, massive impact on global asset prices, end quote. Well, since the Chinese currency is unofficially pegged to the U.S. dollar, there is rising international criticism that China's currency is undervalued. Mr. Liu's unusually blunt remarks underscore how China, the largest U.S. creditor because of its massive holdings of treasury bonds, plus another trillion, give or take, increasingly worthless cash, China has become a forceful critic of U.S. fiscal and monetary policies, to say the least. The Federal Reserve has a policy of cheap money, and plenty of it, if you are a Wall Street bank. And to quote Mr. Liu, quote, this is boosting speculative investment in stock and property markets and will pose new, real, and insurmountable risk to the global recovery and particularly to the recovery in emerging markets, end quote. That's what the man from China is saying. However, Mr. Liu's criticism of the Fed comes as China's own monetary policy is attracting growing scrutiny at home. Critics say the massive expansion in bank loans this year could cause asset price bubbles and inflation. China was forced to launch a stimulus plan equal to the U.S. to avoid a panic at home, since prior to the crash in the U.S., 40% of China's economy was exports. China has warned the U.S. repeatedly not to try to inflate its way out of its debts. In reality, the U.S. has no choice but to inflate the dollar, unless it defaults and prints new currency. Even if we had an economy again, it would never be possible to produce enough goods to repay the debt the Republicans have run up at any time, at anything close to the dollar's current value. Oh, by the way, on Friday, we spent another $1 billion cleaning up three more Republican bank failures. But that's chicken feed. The interest on the debt the Republicans left behind is getting close to $2 billion a day. Prairie2.com. Prairienumeral2.com. Go to his website. I've been reading a lot lately, in The Nation and other publications about this crazed ultimate dance of death between the United States and China. That's the only way it's going to go. This is a dance of death. It may play out in our generation. It may play out later. But we are locked into a situation with China that is only going to be resolved by war. either a trade war or a shooting war or war of nerves or something. China is the third biggest economy now on Earth. It's soon going to be the biggest economy. It has the biggest military force. It is like 25th or some stupid figure, don't quote me on that, in terms of defense budget. That's going to change. And here the U.S. sits, locked in an embrace with the Chinese, thanks to George W. Bush, and a few other presidents, too, I would imagine, but mostly George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. 8 years of having the Chinese pay for this binge that we went through. Who made money in this country during the 8 years of Bush? That's right. Only the ultra-wealthy, who already had everything, but they wanted, well, they had almost everything. But that's what the rich, the super-rich in capitalism wants. They want every goddamn thing. Everything! Not just 95% or 98% or 99.5%. Everything! And Bush was all too accommodating. It was financed by the Chinese, and we are now at a point. You know, when these scum suckers like the Senate Finance Committee, Democrats and Republicans, talk about they're going to hold up lifting the debt ceiling until they get control of the budgetary process. Can you imagine that? I mean, this is an absolute attempt at seizing power away from the House of Representatives, and they're serious. They will do it. All because the Bush crime family sunk us so deeply in debt that, as a lot of economists, real and imagined, are saying, we are not going to get out. There's no way we can get out. If there was no China, we might be able to get out. If we weren't trillions, numbers of trillions of dollars in debt, we might be able to get out. But that's gone. And don't forget who did this to us. Started with Reagan. Remember, from the founding of this republic all the way up to Reagan took office, we had accumulated a $1 trillion national debt. That's what we owed to everybody, including American citizens. That's what the bonds were about. You know, the saving, the government bonds to foreign investors, $1 trillion. When Reagan left office, it was at $4 trillion. So that greasy-haired son of a bitch is the one who started it. Oh, well. Where are we? Mark is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Nice to talk to you. Hey, I've got a story for you. I don't know how things were down in Georgia, but here in Minnesota, you know, during this housing boom, these huge multinational corporations that are home builders would be building all this track housing. They team up with lenders to do all the selling and, you know, at these predatory loans and whatnot. But anyway, if you looked at the Congress recently, they extended, you know, the first-time home buyers credit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Buried in that bill, you will see that they not only did that, but they snuck in a provision that these home builder corporations now can take their losses from this year and next year and apply them retroactively against profits from up to 5 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Thus giving themselves what they now believe is going to be $33 billion worth of tax refunds. I mean, just cutting checks from the Treasury to these companies that were really involved in the housing boom and responsible for the crash.
It just doesn't stop, does it?
No.
Hey, hold on. Mark, hold on. I got to do a break here. Hold on, okay?
Okay.
All right, just hold on. And we will be back after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mullen.
Unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, we're talking with Mark in Minneapolis. Thanks for holding on, Mark. Where were we?
Yeah, not a problem. Well, I was just telling you about the little gift that Congress had stuck in the recent bill that extended the first-time home buyer's credit. People probably saw that in the headline. But tucked away in there is an ability for home builders, mega corporations.
Right.
This isn't your next door neighbor who has a hammer and nails.
Right. But to get this massive tax refund.
Yeah, I mean, they get, and right now they're losing money, so they get to take the losses from this year and next and apply that to the years that they had massive profits before, and thus giving themselves a $33 billion just gift. Now it's predicated on the event that they believe and they like to say they're going to hire people with this, but capital isn't what's responsible for their not hiring people right now. It's lack of demand.
Right.
And so this is just going to be pocketed by these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I couldn't believe it when I read about it. Gretchen Morgenson from the New York Times had an outstanding article on it this past weekend, but it's an outrage.
It was in Saturday or Sunday. Do you remember which issue?
It was on Sunday, I believe, Gretchen Morgenson.
Yes.
She's a really great writer for the New York, columnist for the New York Times on economic issues, had it in there.
Okay, well, I'll check it out because I still have that section. I haven't read the Sunday Times yet. I just couldn't get to it. But I've got to read this.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. This industry was responsible for the housing boom and collapse because they were collaborating with all these predatory lenders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every subdivision had.
Look at the predatory lenders themselves. Look what they've gotten. I mean, it's just astonishing. And it's, you know what? It's not going to not only is it not going to stop, Mark, it's not even easing up. I mean, they just keep beating us and beating us and beating us. And I just wonder how much longer we can do this.
I don't, and then the teabaggers are out there screaming about who knows what, and they're getting robbed by these people.
It's madness. The whole goddamn country, it just seems like the whole country is in this kind of, I don't know, acid spiral or something. It's just like somebody must have spiked the water or the air or, I don't know. It's just incredible. Well, I hear you. Mark, thanks, man. All right. I appreciate you checking in. Thank you. I hadn't heard about that. Oh, my God. A couple quick emails here. This is from Duncan, Air Force veteran, California. Mike, way back when they sent us all overseas for the Southeast Asian War Games, they would teach us about the countries we were about to visit. You know, local customs and such. When I went to Okinawa, they told me if someone bowed when they met you, you bowed back in respect. They sent me to Thailand in 1973. Thais have this greeting when they meet you where they cup both hands, put them in front of their face, and bow. While they're doing this, they say these words, Swadikop, which means welcome. You are expected to do the same in return. It just amazes me that the right-wingers have no clue of world culture. I have to wonder what they think when they hear that we insult their leaders. In many countries in this world, even if you don't like the leader, you do not insult him in public. What an education we're giving the world now. We have regressed to the 19th century of knight riders after the Civil War. Way to go. The world now sees our country's culture is going backwards. He's Duncan's writing about the how these right-wing vermin just have just about lost their lunch over Obama's social gesture of bowing to the Emperor of Japan. This is from Brian. Mike, I'm loving the show. I'm a noob fan listening to you on Sirius Online here in Chilgok, South Korea. I actually have a friend here who told me that it was completely inappropriate for Obama to bow. Obama, who just came out of a speech telling China that they should respect everybody's cultures, even within their borders, like Tibet, went to meet the Emperor. He could do one of the Japanese emperor. He could do one of two things. One, bow and catch hell for bowing to the emperor. Two, don't bow and catch hell for being a hypocrite and not respecting Japanese culture. I wonder which our conservative friends would prefer. Brian in South Korea. They don't care, Brian. They want to see the President of the United States dead. First, they want to see him dead figuratively. And then these right-wingers like Glenn Beck and Michelle Malkin and Rush Limbaugh and the rest of these pigs, then they want to see him dead literally. That's why they do what they do. That's what their programs are all about. Trying to incite some crazy son of a bitch to pick up a gun and either commit that murder or die trying. Every day you pick up, you find another Beck listener has gone berserk. I wouldn't be surprised. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably within the realm of reason, if such a word could be applied to Beck's program, that Dr. Hassan was inspired by Glenn Beck. We'll be back after the break. No sex, no drugs, no wine, no women, no fun, no sin, no doodle, no wonder it's dark. Everyone around me is a total stranger. Everyone avoids me like a sideshow ranger. And fun. That's why I'm trying to tap it, 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 tap it. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Link the contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. Nan is listening in St. Louis on XM. Hey, Nan.
Hi. When you were talking about the giving over the responsibility or taking the responsibility from Nancy Pelosi, mm-hmm. I think I was listening on C-SPAN. I have my notes on November 11th at 1 in the morning, and it was called an advisory panel. And they were telling three Democratic senators that they needed to give up the power. They weren't suggesting it. They were telling them that they pretty much had to. But what was bizarre about it was that they wanted the two people that they wanted to be in control of this new panel was George Bush 1 and Clinton. Is that the same thing that you're talking about?
No. This is different. These are members of the Senate on the Senate Finance Committee. Five of whom are Democrat, and I think three of them are Republican. And what they are saying, they want to form an advisory committee, and I think it's within the confines of the Senate. And this committee will make recommendations as to where to start cutting discretionary spending. And they're not going to touch the defense budget, of course, or the offense budget, the war budget. They're going to start cutting so-called entitlements, Medicare and Social Security. And that if they don't get their way on this, then they will hold up the bill that's in the Congress right now, or will be soon, to increase the debt ceiling so that we can continue to fund the workings of the government with deficit spending. Now, if they follow through on their promise, then everything comes to a stop. This is what Newt Gingrich did during the Clinton years, and Newt Gingrich wound up being tossed out on his ass, both as a House Republican leader and then as a member of Congress. So, or did he resign? I think he resigned. So, in disgrace. So, you know, a lot of people will say, and I think Prairie 2 wrote to me tonight and said, look, that's not going to happen. But this is the threat. I mean, what's astonishing to me is that there are five Democrats involved in this. What they're saying is the Constitution be damned. They are going to demand the say-so on spending or not spending, which rests with the U.S. House. It does, you know, all spending bills have to arise in the House, not the Senate. So I don't know what's going on here, except that these Democrats are the kind of Democrats that are like all Republicans. They are owned by corporate America, and they do what they're told to do.
Okay, let me ask you another question. You know the back room that they take Barack into when he first was elected? When Christopher Dodd came out with his finance reform bill, I immediately thought they took him into that back room, only there had been a coup and the new guys issuing all the guidelines for China and Japan.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I and anyone who's used that term or that little story about taking newly elected presidents into a room and showing the Zapruder film, of course, it's half in jest. But I think what's going on is that once people get elected, they realize, at least in the legislative branch, they realize that, first of all, they got to get reelected. And secondly, they're not going to get the money from the constituents back home, especially not now, because the constituents back home are broke. So
yeah, they're starving.
Right. So where did they get the money for all this expensive television advertising and all this crap that is fluff and superfluous nonsense? Has nothing to do with governing. It has to do with getting reelected. Where do they get the money? They go to where the money is, just like Willie Sutton robbed banks because, as he told the FBI, that's where the money is.
Okay, let me give you two little factoids you'll enjoy since you've been talking about these guys tonight.
Okay.
I looked up Tom Coburn. His net worth in 2004 was $1,166,000. His net worth in 2007 is $4,250,000.
Well, that's from Astute Investments, right?
Yes.
Right.
Mitch McConnell's net worth in 2004 was $1,700,000. In 2007, it's $12,000,000.
$720,000. Woo, baby!
they make good investments.
And they work hard. You know, they work hard for the money. You know, just like any hooker. No offense to sex workers, but no.
However, Nancy Pelosi went from a negative $4 million in 2004 to a positive $119 million.
What? Her net worth?
Yes, a negative $4 million in 2004. To a positive almost 120 million, 119 million, $974,989.
Good God. Well, you know, the solution to all this, Nan, and thanks, Nan. Those are great facts. Thank you. The solution is to get, first of all, anyone whose net worth is over, oh, I don't know, you got to factor in a house, you got to factor in a little bit of savings. Anyone whose net worth is over $500,000, throw their ass out of Congress, both houses. Just get rid of them. There should be a moment when Mike Malloy is the emperor of the United States. Just give me a week, and anything I say has to be done. The first thing, anyone whose net worth is over $500,000, you're gone. And then allow people who rely on those $5 and $10 and $15 donations in the home district to send people to Congress, to the House or the Senate. What? That's never going to happen. Oh, never going to happen. Okay. Mike is in Chicago. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Emperor Mike, could we also get rid of religious office inside the White House?
Absolutely. That's the second thing I'll do.
Making my point, I was wondering if you happen to know, how did Bush Sr. and the Biden family used to read each other when they were in Carlisle?
Hey, Mike.
How was it an hour?
Mike, let me put you on hold for a second because we're catching about every second or third syllable that you're saying. Kathy will check with you to make sure you're back on okay. All right? Then we'll come back. Ward is calling from Japan. Hey, Ward.
Hey, I bow to the great emperor of the progressive.
All right, you guys, you got to stop now. Okay. How's everything? Where are you in Japan?
I'm in Toshima City, which is on the Pacific coast, east of Tokyo.
That's right. You told me that about six times. Thanks for all the emails. Now, why did you call?
There's an excellent article on Salon by David Sirota.
Oh, good.
Title is The Real Deficit Hawks. And he's asking the question, where is the outrage over the defense budget?
Right.
And he's pointing out that health reform bill would recoup $11 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense budget bill is set to spend $6.3 trillion down the goddamn, can I say that?
Yeah.
Drain over the next 10 years. So you go for health care reform, and over a 10-year period, we get back $110 billion.
Right.
With the Defense Department, $6.3 trillion goes down the drain.
That's right. That's right. Well, I didn't know what the numbers were, but, you know, I've said before, and this is Mike Malloy naivete, and I admit it, but any money spent over what it costs to upgrade and maintain, 100 nuclear weapons in our arsenal is waste in terms of weaponry. Because with 100 nuclear weapons, nobody on Earth would dare attack, and even that is nonsense. I mean, the whole thing is just craziness.
Yeah, $626 billion a year. Russia spends about $50 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
China spends about $100 billion a year.
Right.
And, you know, so who are we afraid of?
He stammered and stuttered.
With beards hiding in caves? I mean,
yeah, on. Right. No, that's the bait. And the switch is taking all of our money that should go for discretionary spending and not keeping us deeply in debt. It's the bait and switch, only on a scale unprecedented in human history. I got to ask you something. How did Barack Obama's bow to the emperor, how did that play in the Japanese press? Or didn't they even pay any attention to it?
They speculated on what the conservatives in the United States would have to say about it. And basically, they went back through history, and most of the articles I saw talked about the way different presidents greeted the emperor in the past.
Right.
And it's no big deal. I mean, people in other countries visit other countries all the time,
mm-hmm.
and they have, you know, you respect the local protocol, whatever it happens to be.
Right.
It has, you know, zero significance. Not as much significance as Reagan giving a speech at a SS cemetery in Germany.
Yeah, Bitburg. I mean, it's insane. Where were the
now,
right?
Significant.
Where were the right wingers? I think Pat Buchanan celebrated that. You know,
right.
Where were the right wingers on really serious stuff? But no, Barack Obama bows. You know, George Bush. Tongue kisses the Saudi leader and holds his hand after the son of a bitch sent 15 bombers to this country. Okay, didn't send them, or who knows? Maybe did, because the Saudis certainly got what they asked for. After the bombing, all of our troops left.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, listen, Ward, always good to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Take all care. Right, sir. Take care. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Thanks to our crew, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Kathy Bays, the executive producer. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, well, what the hell. Matt is calling from Atlanta, listening on Sirius. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Hey, Mike. How's it going tonight?
Pretty good.
Hey, I was calling. I've been seeking some answers all day, and I think as I told your help on the line that I'm a conservative. But I'm seeking to understand why it is that that those on the left believe it's a good idea to try KSM in a civilian court, and and provide him with all of the rights that an American citizen has earned through citizenship?
I guess because we're not savages. Who did he kill? Who did Khalid Sheikh Mohammed kill?
Well, I believe most people believe that he was the mastermind behind the bombing
okay.
of the...
Okay, so he can be indicted on a conspiracy to commit murder. Where did the killings take place?
Well, they took place in the United States.
Okay. What is it? Let me just turn the question around. What is it about our laws that you have so little confidence in?
No, it's not.
Now wait. You ask me questions, pal. I'm trying to answer you. You ask me, why is it a good idea to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in New York City? Where would you try him? Do you not have confidence in the laws of the United States of America? Oh, I know. I have a better idea. I think what you'd rather do, Matt, is just take the son of a bitch out and shoot him, right?
No.
Then where would you like him to be tried?
In a military tribunal.
Why?
Why? Because
we weren't. Wait a minute. We weren't at war. These are not Nazis. We're not. I mean, this is somebody.
Nazis.
Now stop. I'm trying to enlighten you, and it's a waste of time.